Huh?
The beginning of the Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah tells Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneihem. The Vav Ve'ela Mishpatim links the din that followed in Parshas Mishpatim, which was came before, and came before, of course, is the Aseres HaDibros. So everything comes from Har Sinai. Most of Parshas Mishpatim deals with what we might call civil law today. Not all of it, but a good percentage. Civil law, laws of damages, laws of relation between people, and so on. Not that we all are chavero in the sense of being polite and kind in that sense, but in the business sense. Business law, civil law, and so on. That's a good part of what constitutes this. Certainly the beginning of Seder Nezikin comes from the Dinim of Bava Kama and some of see a lot of the Dinim of Shavas Aveda and damages, all this is found in Parshat Mishpatim. But the Chazal of Adrosh on the opening phrase, Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneihem, emphasis on the word Lifneihem, the Gemara in Gittin, the end of Gittin Adap Pechasim Aveda, the Gemara says, Lifneihem, lo Lifnei Akum. That these are Dinim we have to present Lifneihem, to present to the Jewish people, and not in front of the non-Jewish people, the Dinim of the Jewish people. And Rashi, in the Chumash, Rashi quotes this and says that we Jewish people have some sort of a sichsuch, some sort of a disagreement, some sort of litigation, and so on. They're supposed to take it lifneihem to Jewish courts and not to non-Jewish courts. The din is supposed to, and that's halacha to this day, they're supposed to go to a bezdin and not to what we call arkos. Arkos, ein resh chof aleph vov sof. Arkos means secular court, other courts. You're not supposed to take your litigation with another Jew to a non-Jewish court, to a secular court, a state or federal court. You're rather supposed to go to a Beis Din, hopefully a qualified Beis Din. It's not always easy to find a qualified Beis Din, but assuming there is a qualified Beis Din. So you have to take the case to a Beis Din. And Rashi writes that not to do so constitutes a chil Hashem. It's not proper. In fact, the Rambam, the very end of Hilchos Sanhedrin, Parakhov Vav Halacha Zayin, the very end of Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam writes very, very forcefully, criticizing people who take their Jews, who take their secular their cases to a secular court. The Rambam is Loshen Harei Zer Rosha Bechirev Vegidev Behirim Yad Betoras Moshe Rabbeinu. Not exactly complimentary language. Very strong language against somebody who would go to a non-Jewish court. And it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch as well in Choshen Mishpat Simen Chav Vav Sif Aleph. As a side point, there's an interesting question which some bring up. It's all I want to go into now in detail. But first of all, we understand that the proper thing is that Jews should take their cases to a Beis Din to resolve any kind of civil dispute in front of a Beis Din. Now, as a side point, we know there's a principle, there's a couple of places in the Gemara, Dina de Malchus Adina. Right? Dina Malchus Adina means that the law of the land, we have to follow the law of the land. And the law of the land, we have courts here in the United States, we have courts, and other countries have courts. So how do you reconcile the concept of Dina Malchus Adina, Gemara and Gittin Daf Yedon Beis, and other places? How do we reconcile that with the notion of not going to secular courts, and not assigning our cases to their courts? If there's a Dina, Dina Malchus Adina, what's the problem? Many assume that Dina Malchus Adina, that's a further question, is that a Dindo Rais or the Rabbanon? Many assume it's a Dindo Rais, the very first Jew in the Charles of Jew is Devar of Rome. If I'm not mistaken, he demonstrates that the Dina Malchus Adina is a Raisa Kanta. Dvar Avrom was written by Rabbi Avrom Dober Kahana Shapiro, who was a Rav in Europe. He was known as the Kovno Rav. He was a Rav in Kovno. Rav Soloveitchik and Rav, the Rav had shaykhs to him. As a matter of fact, when the Rav came to America, so he became a rabbi in the city of Boston. So it wasn't like he had an official certificate or a smicha klaf or something like that. Not really had that. So when he came to Boston, the story is that the community wanted to see, where did you get smicha? Where's your... So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, was alive at the time when he came. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was here at YU. And so Rav Moshe Soloveitchik told the community in Boston, but the father, of course the father's going to say his son is wonderful and great, and so on. They wanted some independent corroboration. So the Dvar of Rum, the author of the Dvar of Rum, this Rabbi Kahana Shapiro from the Kovner Rav, wrote a letter about Rav Soloveitchik, about Rabbi Shapiro, about the Rav. If you've ever seen the volume, the black volume called Zichron HaRav, when Rav Soloveitchik was nifted, they printed within a few months or maybe a year, they printed a collection of articles from different Rosh Yeshiva here in YU. I wasn't here in the yeshiva at that time, but anyway, I think on the front page they print that letter from the Dvar of Rome, praising Rav Soloveitchik. I think he has an expression, Halacha Kamosu V'chol Mokom, which has a certain, I guess, ironic twist to it. But anyway, so the Dvar of Roman, his first shuvah says that Dina Malchus Adina is a concept of Oraisa. So how do you figure out if there's such a concept of Dina Malchus Adina? So how does that dovetail with the prohibition to go to our cause? So There's some who hold, it's a big machlokes rishonim, it's not our topic right now, the big machlokes rishonim, what does dinu machusa dinu mean? Some will say that it has to do with taxes, and the government has the right to charge taxes, Jews have to pay taxes and so on, the things relating to land ownership and things along those lines, so that's dinu machusa dinu. If you're interested in the subject, dinu machusa dinu, Rav Shechter Shlita wrote an article in English, I think it was the very first edition of the, very first issue of the so-called RJJ journal. You know, the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, you know, that now they've had, I don't know, 60 or something, I think, the very first one, if I'm not mistaken, one of the first one, might have been the first one, Rav Shechter wrote an article in English about Dinah Machusadina, so if you're interested in that subject, you can look it up there. Anyway, but some hold that it's only a din in taxes and so on, it doesn't apply to everything. And therefore, there's no steer, it doesn't say you have to go to their courts for taxes and other things like that. That's how many Rishonim learn the Magid Mishnah in Hilchos Ma'al Uvalova, Perak Chavzayin Halach Aleph, assumes that the Rambam holds like that, and that's how the Mechaber seems to paskin in Choshen Mishnah, Simon and However, many others disagree and assume that it's not just limited to taxes. The big machlokas we've shown him, the Ramor in Choshmis, Shin Samech Tes, Siv Ches, seems to hold that it goes, it seems to pass as well other things also. So we're back to our question. So there are different answers to that. Some suggest that Dina Machus Adina, we know that does not apply if the court is going to rule against Torah law. We don't have to follow the secular courts. Again, that's a prat within Dina Machus Adina. Not supposed to go against if they're going to rule against Torah law, so then we don't have to follow Dina Machus Adina. So, especially in many of these business law areas, so it could be that it's against the Torah law. So that's how the Shach writes in Choshen Mishpat Siman Ayin Gimel, Sivkot Lamed Vav and Sivkot Lamed Tes, that get out of the question. It's an interesting question nonetheless. The question is, okay, well, let's say I'm a Jew and I'm ready to take another Jew to a Din Torah. Din Torah means in front of a Bezin. I'm not going to go to our coast. I'm not going to go to a secular court. But the other party refuses to come. What can you do? We don't have, in this country, can't enforce it. We have separation of church and state, so the secular authorities are not going to enforce somebody to go to a Beis Din. And if one of the litigants in the case refuses to go, so what am I supposed to do now? I give up my case. I have the guy owes me $10,000, and I summon him to a Beis Din and he refuses to appear. Or sometimes, and these cases come up, sometimes you have a case where maybe the Beis Din ruled, but they have no enforcing power. Right, the Beis Din may have ruled in favor of one of the litigants. Okay, you have to pay me $10,000. The guy says, okay, make me. Right, the Beis Din can't reinforce. We can sometimes apply social pressure, other things in the community, but by and large, it can't be enforced. So then, the Rosh in Baba Kama, Parakas Simon Yud Zion, says that if there's no choice, right, that if the person, you know, doesn't have to lose money, he can go to secular courts. If he tried to go to a Jewish court, and then it didn't work because one of the litigants refused to abide by the decision of the Beis Din, so then you can take him to a secular court, which obviously is in this country and most countries have the power to enforce their decisions. The guy can be thrown into prison and so on. So that's a different story. That's how the Rosh writes, and that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins over there. In Choshen Mishpat, Simen Chov Vav and Simen Beis, he says that if the guy refuses, so then you can, you know, you don't have to lose money. So there's a sefer called the Klei Chemda, Klei Chemda by Meir Don Plotsky, who has essays on every parsha of Shavua, and he has lamdashar halachic topics that relate to the sedra. So in one of his essays, I think it's the first one on Parsha Mishpatim, Klei Chemda raises, what do you mean the guy's going to lose money so he's able to allow to violate a halacha? We have a halacha, you're not allowed to go to a secular court. So what do you mean he's going to lose money? Tough. Right? If some people lose money by not going to work on Shabbos, you're not allowed to work on Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to, you know, you're not allowed to violate if there's a din. And he says it seems to be because the Pasuk language is Ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. Okay, so Lifnehem, he understands that this is what we call a lav habo michal asay. Right? The Torah presents an asay to go Lifnehem, Ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. And we have a lav habo michal asay. Well, to violate a lav, you're never allowed to violate a lav for a kol moment ba'olam. Okay, so why should be allowed here? If you want to look that up, that's the Ramo mentions in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Lulav, Orachaim Simen Tov Reish Nun Vav Sif Aleph. In the discussion, we know that for the sake of a mitzvah, he's talking about there buying a lulav and esrog. So for the sake of a mitzvah, there's a limit to how much you have to spend. Right, you may remember the Gemara Ksubas, which says that Mavazbez Al Yavazbez Yosef Mechomesh. For a mitzvah, you don't have to spend more than X amount. Okay, for hidden mitzvah, less above that, but whatever it is, for mitzvah, you don't have to spend everything and give up kol hon beso. But in the same breath, the Ramor writes over there in some top reish nun vav. But to avoid violating a lav, you got to be willing to give up everything. Right? So you lost, you lost. What can you do? It's a din in the Torah. And that's it. So if it says, Eila Mishpatim, Asher Tosim, Lifnehem, 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 Hakom, you can't go to our coast, so then What do you mean you're going to lose money? Okay, you're going to lose money. That's what it means. Sometimes to be an observant Jew means I got to give up certain things. Sometimes I have to lose money. So what would be the heter to go to a non-Jewish court? So he suggests a possibility that we have a Gemara in a few places, Gemara Baba Kama, Daf Chav Zayin, that sometimes it's Paskan Shulchan Aruch, Chosh Mishpat Simen Dalad, towards the beginning of Chosh Mishpat, that sometimes Yochel Odom Lasos Din La'atzmo. Sometimes, in circumstances, you can take the law into your own hands. Right? Even you can beat somebody up or whatever if you see that the law is not, following what's supposed to do and so on. So in certain cases, a person can take the law into his own hands. So Klei Chemda thinks that maybe this is like that. In other words, in a Hanami, usually I'm not allowed to go beat up another person or harm another person. But sometimes, to avoid the financial loss, I can take the law into my own hands. So Klei Chemda proposes the possibility that maybe that's what's going on here, that I can violate otherwise an ordinary circumstance the law in the Torah. So I can do that. It's like taking the law into my own hands. I can do that to prevent the financial loss, yeah. Ovid and Israel have that same idea, right? Ovid and Israel Nafshi, sometimes you can take the law. Again, the language of Shulchan Aruch is Yochel. But yeah, Ovid and Israel Nafshi, sometimes. And maybe that's in this category. So Klei Chemda rejects that possibility. A very kind of technical reason, but also especially because it's pretty clear there are more there, right? But you can't get a goy involved. You can't, you can take the law into your hands, but it seems you can't bring non-Jews into the mix or, Maser and other things like that. So that would be question whether that, you can really say it's the same din. So the Klei Chemda answers is we have to understand what the nature of this din is. Going back to what we started with, the Rambam writes, Rashi and Chumash says the Chel Hashem, and the Rambam writes, Hareza, Rosha, Vechire, Vegidev, and so on. Yeah, what's the reason why? So the Sma, the Mir Sinai, the Sma is one of the commentaries on the side of the page in Choshen Mishpat, the same author as the Prisha and so on. So the Sma writes, there in the Sinur Chavov, in Or HaChaim, I think it's Sukkot and Dalad, he writes, but the purpose of this din, the reason we're so strict about this din is because it shows that you prefer the secular court and the non-Jewish decisions and so on in law to a Jewish court. That's the Chel Hashem. You have a Bezin, the Bezin is going to pasken al pi Torasenu, and yours reject them. No, I'd rather take the court, I'd rather go to the court here in New York City, whatever it is. That's a rejection of the law of the Torah. It's a dishonor, so to speak. It's a lack of kovod, and it shows that you trust this system better than our system. That's a Chel Hashem. That's what the Rambam writes so strongly. Yeah, but if you attempted to go to a, you're ready to go to a Jewish court. The other guy can't, refuses to participate. Okay, he's in the wrong. Doesn't mean I have to lose now. But I'm allowed to take him to a secular court because the whole din of not going to our coast is not applicable in this situation. The whole din of not going to our coast is to not to intimate that maybe there's something better than our system of law. But I didn't intimate that. I'm inviting him to come to a Bezin. I made it very clear I wanted to come to Bezin. Or in the other case I mentioned, I even came to a Bezin. We presented a case to a Bezin. And the guy refused to comply. Okay, so now it's not a Chil Hashem that we're going to go to a secular court because I didn't reject the law of the Torah. I adhere to it. I wanted him to come to a Bezin. I did bring him to a Bezin. So in such a case, that's what the Klei Chemda implies. That's why it's okay to go to our coast if the Bezin, you went to a Bezin, or they didn't go, but the other guy didn't come. So that's what we have today. Sometimes an authorized Bezin will approve, will indicate, will tell the litigant, you can now call, we hereby authorize you to take the case to a secular court. If the Bezin authorized it, then it wasn't a rejection of the Bezin, so the whole din of not going to our coast doesn't apply. Okay. What? Yeah.